Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 86, verses 9 through 10. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God.
The first thing I want to say, which to my shame is my few Ojibwe words, Gichimigwich. Gichimigwich. Thank you so much to this church for your love, your prayer support, your financial support over all these years. I think it first started with a connection by Peggy Gustafson, and then there was camps up at Stormer Lake and missions conferences where some of our young people have had a chance to share. And I have just appreciated the emails of assurance of prayer support. And this weekend has just been great. The hospitality has been great, and it's just refreshed my heart. So I thank you. I thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And I really, really like your theme this year, building bridges of understanding, and my brain thought, grace. Building bridges of understanding and grace. And today I'd like to start out with just something that that I believe is a key in understanding. And oftentimes when I think of Picangicum, and for anybody that doesn't know, I've ministered this coming fall, it'll be 22 years, in a First Nation called Picangicum that's located by Winter Road about 8 hours north of here. Yes, there's life beyond International Falls. There is. This is not the end of the road, okay? The northern Ontario, northern Manitoba, northern Quebec, our northern Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC are dotted with isolated native communities. There's a whole nother world up there that up until 22 years ago, I didn't know existed, right? And ministered there 22 years, invited to start a Sunday school. And I'm thankful for long-term relationships. I'm thankful that community has accepted me. And that's major. That's major. And if I say our people, it just kind of has gotten into my heart, right? Okay. And one of the scriptures that I think is a key in understanding is found in John 10:10. The thief does not come. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly and may have it to the fullest. And I know that this applies to all people groups. This applies to all peoples. But what I have seen and what I have read is that the enemy, Satan, has had a concentrated assignment against the indigenous peoples of North and South America. A concentrated assignment. When Columbus landed, and in the centuries that, after the time that Columbus landed and the centuries that followed, 90% of the indigenous people of North and South America were wiped out. 90%. We've heard of the Trail of Tears, or maybe you haven't heard of the Trail of Tears. Southeastern tribes relocated to Oklahoma. 100,000 people moved from their lands, and of those 100,000 people, 15,000 died. You know, up until recent years, nobody had heard of the residential schools in Canada, a combining of churches and government to kill the Indian and save the child. Kill the Indian and save the child. Of 150,000 children as young as age 5 that were taken away from their homes for 10 months out of the year, and subjected to loss of language, to abuse, to medical tests, to loneliness, 6,000 died. There's just been a rain of death. There's been word curses over the native peoples of this country. Theodore Roosevelt 26th American president, Nobel Peace Prize winner in 1905, made this statement. "I suppose I should be ashamed that I take the Western view of the Indian. I don't go so far as to think that the only good Indians are dead Indians, but I believe 9 out of 10 are, and I shouldn't inquire too closely into the case of the 10th. The top authority in the American government speaking a word curse over the peoples. On many First Nations, many reservations, where that assignment of death is manifested is in the suicides. In Canadian First Nations, the young men have a suicide rate 11 times that of non-Indigenous males. Females, First Nation females, have a suicide rate 21 times that of non-Native females. Not only has suicide taken our people, but 8 out of 10 Native people, 8 out of 10 young adults can expect that in their lives they will develop diabetes. 8 out of 10. What's that due to? Changes in traditional diet. Carbohydrates rather than protein, right? That's what it is. That's what it is. To me, these statistics aren't just statistics, but it's Judy at age 45 who experienced double amputations and left a family behind, a blind 5-year-old amongst her children. These are our funeral that I helped with last week. Stephen, 52 years old, had been a hockey coach, had been a band counselor, diabetes with a heart attack. You know, a woman, Janet, 6-7 years younger than me, leaving behind young adult daughters needing a mom in their lives. That's what it equates to. You know, the suicide statistics on First Nations, you know, you can look and Google those statistics. But to me, those statistics are people's names. Like Micaiah, like Hazel, like Bianca, like Delphine, like Daisy, like Hosa, who in a 4-week period in 2017 took their lives. There has been such a rain of death. Such a rain of death. And when we think of this, we can go, well, why such a vicious attack? Why such a vicious attack upon Indigenous peoples? Why such a vicious attack upon First Nations? Why so much death? And I think that scripture that we had today, Psalm 86, verse 9 and 10, has a key. It says, "All the nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things, for you alone are God." What God creates, the enemy hates. He's created the nations. He's created the diversity. He's created the different ways of thinking. Those were his plan. And the enemy hates it. The enemy would have Native people just totally assimilated, and that the culture is gone, that as a distinct people group, they aren't. Because it's God that created them. It's God that created the diversity. Secondly, we know that God has in his heart plans for nations. He has plans. He has destiny for peoples. And I'm thinking you've heard this quote. I'm hoping you've heard this quote. Okay. It's from a very reliable person who said this. Billy Graham, okay? In 1975, speaking in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and this was the time before the word Indian wasn't used anymore, Billy Graham says, "You as Indians are a sleeping giant. You are awakening. Just around the corner, you may become a spiritual superpower in this country that could change not only America, but the world. But the world. You know, so often our thinking has been, you know, the thing of going to the First Nations, of ministering to the on the reservations, you know? But the fact of the matter is that on God's heart is that the people that he originally put in this land, that they are the ones that are the carriers of the gospel, that they are the ones bringing the message, that they are the ones carrying out the Great Commission in places that some of us, that some of us with this complexion, is everybody awake now? That some of us with this complexion cannot go to and where we're not received. And so God has a plan, but unfortunately, so does the enemy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest and have it more abundantly. And unfortunately, a lot of times the message, the gospel message that has been preached has been only that Jesus gives eternal life, okay? Yes, Jesus gives eternal life. And if it weren't for that message, things would be totally hopeless. Totally hopeless. But the fact is, not only does Jesus give eternal life, he gives abundant life. He gives full life, okay? And what gives fullness of life? You know, not the fanciness of your house, you know, not your clothes, you know, but what gives fullness of life is moving in your purposes in God, is knowing who you are in God. Is knowing your destiny, right? That's it. That's it. You know, we in bridging, in building bridges with understanding and with grace, okay? It's not without the word of God, okay? Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit. Oh, man, you know, the people I work amongst, I feel like, sometimes I feel like, I just feel like I'm kind of like, duh, okay, as far as my perception, as far as my understanding sometimes, right? Man, you know, a spiritually perceptive people. Okay? And Jesus says, my words are spirit. And my words are life. And yes, we've come with the book. Yes, non-natives have come with a book. Sometimes, as myself, making a whole lot of mistakes. But we come with love, and we come with acceptance. With love and acceptance, bringing the words of life. And as far as in you, with your God-appointed appointments with Native people, you come with the word of life, but with love and with acceptance. Not with the words, why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and why don't you become more like us, and why don't you just, like, leave the reservation, you know, why don't you just leave your land, you know, why don't you just get ahead? Not with that, but with love and with acceptance. Okay? And bringing the words of life. I have one story to share, and then I'm going to ask Silas up. And then I have a short video. Yeah. And the story I want to tell you of is bringing the value of bringing the words of life. What can result from bringing the words of life? And maybe you've heard me share this story. It was probably about 3-4 years into being in Pecanjikum. And my neighbors got a hold of me and they said, our neighbor can't walk. And she couldn't walk because she had been sniffing gas so much. She was the queen of the gas sniffers. And they said, her neighbor can't walk. Would you go pray for her? And I didn't have a vehicle at that time, and it was winter, but I walked over and was going to go visit her. She was sitting on a bottom bunk of a bunk bed. There was no open doors. There were no open doors. I tried to talk, nothing. Closed door, just like that, right? You know, just nothing. I visited. I went, well, I guess I kind of missed that. It just seemed like there was no connection at all. About a week later, I came home from school, and the Lord said, go see Pavilia. Go see Pavilia. It's like, oh, it's cold. I'm tired. I'm home from school. I want to take a nap. I'll do it tomorrow. Go see Pavilia. I went to go see Pavilia, and she was sitting in her on the bottom bunk, and, you know, again, very little conversation. I was getting about ready to go, and she said, now I know God loves me. I went, okay, what? Why do you say that? And she said, I'd made a plan to hang myself from that top bunk today. And she said, God, if you're there and if you love me, will you give me a sign? And you came. And Pavilia went on to receive Jesus. Pavilia went on to get healed. The nerves in her legs were restored. Pavilia went on to become one of the youth pastors in the church. You know, she went on to fulfill her destiny in God. And you just never know what the word brought with love and acceptance can do, even if it's reluctantly. And you know, we can minister those words of love and acceptance, but it's even more effective, even more powerful when those words of life are spoken by one native person to another. And I've had the great privilege of knowing Silas, and we've gotten to know each other the last 3 years. And Silas has been part of Ron Hutchcraft's On Eagle's Wings Summer of Hope team. And I know Silas is set apart for the gospel. He has an invitation by a native man who works with Canadian Gideons to go to Peru in September to bring the words of life to indigenous people. And I'd like Silas to come up today and to share his hope story. Silas? Wherever you feel comfortable. Back.
Oh, hi. Name is Silas Quayle, and I guess I'll be sharing my story, how I met Christ. Back home, I wasn't from Bekanchkam originally, but my father was from there. And then my mother was from a different reservation from way north, from northeast, somewhere northeast. It's a place called Nipinamik or Summer Beaver. And it's a pretty isolated reservation. My parents did split up when I was like a 1 year old, so I lived with my mother for 1 year, but she couldn't take care of me. My grandmother, which is from Bekanchkam, wanted to take care of me, so I moved two places. And then growing up in my grandmother's place was challenging for me. It's because of how it was very difficult. Oftentimes I would get abused, by my uncle. He's the youngest in the family, the youngest uncle in the family. And my grandmother was very protective of my uncle. So whenever I reported, I would just get turned away or silent treatment. That affected a lot. And so I began to hang out with the older kids. It was a bad decision, but I didn't know what they did to me. One of them eventually molested me at a young age. So that hurt a lot. So this, all that past really affected my teenage years. I was starting to get depressed. I didn't have any friends. I was rejected in school. They stayed away from me even though I wanted to talk to them. Even if I made a friend, I would often get teased, ridiculed in my home. So I was alone. I didn't have anyone. But though my grandmother, she was loving, but who could I turn to in that situation? I remember my great-grandmother. I used to went her to a church, a small church, but they would just sing, have that something about in their face. But for me, I didn't understand it. So I learned a little bit about God, but I did not know who Jesus was. Until Colleen, she teaches at school, that's where I began to learn a little bit. I tried to be good in every way I did. Never tried to say any swear words. And I remember in her class, she was talking about, how can you get to heaven? It was like listening closely. She said, you can enter in heaven because you're good, because you're trying to be nice, all that good stuff, but through Jesus. So I learned that a little bit. I remember it just kind of shook me. So it's back in 2014. I invited Colleen to my house and received the Lord there. I invited Jesus in my heart. But I still had that depression going in my heart. I didn't know how to deal with it. It was in a few months later on, I wanted to get baptized. And I remember this. I don't know how to explain it, but this happiness, it was in my heart. So ever since then, I can smile. So that's my story.
God, it brings me great joy seeing a young man that's pursuing Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Silas. Thanks for sharing. And what I'd like to close with is a 5-minute DVD, and it's based on a song that was actually written for Pine Ridge, South Dakota. So it says, "We speak life unto this prairie." Well, we've got the lakes, rocks, and trees, right? We speak freedom to this land. We speak life. We speak life. And sometimes, just driving down the roads in Pecanjigam, like this, you just go, "Lord, bring your life. Bring your life." In this short video, you'll see a few pictures of some of the heartache, but you'll see a lot of pictures of the glory of God on our believers' faces. Okay. It's getting time for me to get home. kind of getting homesick. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your open hearts. Thanks for your prayers. And continue to pray for that guy, okay? Continue to pray for Silas. Thank you. God bless you.